Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. We have received an apology of the CG who is out of the country. We have gone through the same number of apology, and then we also received an apology of the minister for attending the committee. And then on our side, the apology of Ms. Dobodwane, who will be still attending the committee.
Thank you, Chair. The apology for the Deputy Minister. She has an appointment.
I'm sure I'll be audible enough here. Thank you, Chair. The Deputy Minister has the doctor's appointment.
Thank you very much. Apologies, accepted. Can we then report? The report of the Personal Committee on Small Business. Development on the budget book. Thank you. The debate on the budget is on the issue of May, which is next week on Thursday, which then means that we need to fast track the decision and the adoption of the report by the President. As members read the report, we want to time for this report. Can we allocate time for that? How much time? Madam Chair?
I'd suggest 30 minutes, Chair.
We'll spend 30 minutes going through the report.
Thank you.
check if members can use more time for this. May I get a response? We need more time?
No.
You are done? Are there members who think we need more time?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we may proceed with the meeting, Chair. I think we are all through with us.
Is there a counter review?
Thank you, Chair. I'm seconding that proceed with the meeting.
Thank you very much. We may proceed with the meeting.
Chairperson, I think they're looking in terms of the whole report. I think the report is spot on, more especially the observation. But safe to say that the department needs to move with speed in addressing and responding positively towards the challenges that have been identified. And challenges that are of critical for the department to achieve towards its mandate and the priorities in ensuring that these unpleasing socio-economic conditions of our people are addressed and our people get good services. It's only on 9.7, just to say the department has to derive a creative, innovative mechanism in sourcing out the budget for this program to be implemented and achieved, because there's no enough budget, and it's a critical and important program to me. When I look into, or not that other programs are not important, but looking at program 3, it's very important that it has to have a budget, but the department has to find creative and creative ways in sourcing the budget. And also the issue of closing these vacant posts at 9.9 in terms of the observations. But generally, I think the observations and the recommendations are well articulated. Thank you.
Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. And just a few comments. I think on the whole, the report is balanced and accurate. And so I commend the support staff for the work that they've done. In terms of the detail, I just have a couple of comments. Paragraph 3.2. My information from the department is that I'm glad to see that the originator of this program is present with us today, Dr. Maswai, is that the National Gazelles Program has been somewhat modified from its original intent, and the planned 200 businesses to be supported per year has now been reduced to 40, and the other ones are going to be just put into the CEDA program. So I think that number of 600 needs to change to 120. So it's going to be 40 businesses supported from the Gazelles program per year. Maybe we can just ask Dr. Maswai if he can confirm that, or somebody from the department when I finish just my comments. I think it's important in paragraph 3.4, or maybe in the observations, to note the committee's concern about the duplication of specifically the enterprise incubator program and the incubation support program, which is its sort of sibling in the DDI, and the fact that this is an example of duplication of programs. I think it's also important to note, sorry, in the previous paragraph, 3.3, that there is a very great urgency, again this could be put into the observation, around the re-evaluation of the effectiveness of the cooperatives and entity as a result of the high failure rate identified in our oversight report. Then paragraph 6.6, second paragraph. I think the report correctly points out in the second sentence, which reads, over the medium term, this will require driving high impact programs. The trouble is we don't know which programs are the high impact programs, because there's no measure of impact, which the department has already admitted. And I think, again, that relates to what should be put into the observation. And in fact, if you read the National Devels plan, it's expecting a three-year evaluation time. It says you can't actually evaluate the effectiveness of this program until it's run its course. So we don't actually know if it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I think that, again, so when it comes to observations and recommendations, I would strongly urge a greater emphasis be made on the need to measure impact and outcomes according to internationally agreed metrics and longitudinal impact evaluation. In other words, over time. Again, it is going to take time, but if you look, I'm sure that if the agencies and the department were to go through their records, they would be able to construct that information. It's not that difficult. If the agency were to actually look at the number of businesses that it supported and then do a search on individual businesses, what is the long-term impact? And I think that our committee has been banging this drum for 3 years now, and it's only beginning to sink in. And I think we need to continue to bang that drum. And then I think the final point is, in terms of observations, which is linked to paragraph 9.9, is the continual re-evaluation of strategy results in every year the department's organizational design changing, which leads to instability. Now I know that it's a moving piece, but at some point there's got to be some stability. And the discussions with the DPME hopefully will eventually have borne fruit in terms of a structure that can be sustained and built on. Thank you, Chair.
I will need guidance here, colleague Chair, whether we should also speak on some typos or we should assume that the Secretariat will look at that. I'm just seeking guidance.
Can we assess the content and substance observations in relation to the mandate and the APP, and then at a later stage deal with the issues of crime? Can we focus now at this point on the substantive nature of the report?
for now, two brief ones, especially on the recommendations. Let me first join the colleagues who feel comfortable with the performance and the quality of the report, and encouraging the performance of the department staff. But further, I would like to some extent, that the part on the recommendations, to there are two elements that I would like them to surface very clearly. You remember this one, that we feel that the department is supposed to be having that leading role in cooperatives, because we're concerned that cooperatives are found everywhere. But we do have that feeling that actually it's a responsibility of this department. It does appear, but I don't think it's very clear. And another part which also was always coming loud from us is this part of a one-stop shop. So that the only two elements I think maybe if we can afford, if that is accepted, that it should surface somehow in the recommendations. But I think they are supposed to be reinforcing the existing recommendations because they are short enough.
In addition to what is being raised by Robert Tapa in relation to cooperatives, I think that the report also has to highlight that is the high rate failure of cooperatives, 88% failure rate, doesn't match the amount of resources spent by various departments on development of cooperatives. As much as there is duplication, and each and every department doing its own thing, there is a lot of resources that is spent on cooperative development, work done by various departments in the absence of a national strategy and a master plan. That is very, very key. Because if there was a national strategy and a master plan, every department would be knowing what role it has to play in the process of developing cooperatives, so there would be no duplication. But having said that, the fact that each and every department would say they are doing something on cooperatives, but the results are dismal, 88% failure rate, is an issue of concern. But in addition to that, in the APPs, there is no mention of the establishment of critical agencies that are required for development of cooperatives. The cooperative development agencies, the cooperative academy, and the review of the Cooperative Development Bank to enable it not to only focus on regulation, but also focus on development of cooperative banks in the country. So those three are very, very important for development of cooperatives, but they don't appear on the APPs of the department. It is an observation that they don't appear. There is no strategic plan and master plan, resulting with a lot of duplication and too much resources spent on cooperative development with very extremely poor 40% success.
Can I just add something on what you are saying on the 88% failure rate? I just want to do ourselves a favor. I want to relieve the pressure from the department. I have discovered that the 88% failure rate is not basically in the department. It's throughout all cooperatives,
yes.
Throughout all departments, especially in other departments.
Yes.
And therefore, should not absolutely feel that, no, this is a fail of the department solely. It is very important. It's important for the department to know that, so that they follow up on those failures which are not their responsibility, but because of this disjuncture. Thank you.
Honourable
Chair. Yeah, Chair, I think you make a very valid point. It's a bit like, somebody having a recipe for a cake and only half or quarter of the recipe components are put into it. Like, without the Cooperative Development Agency and the Cooperative Development Banks, which are essential support systems and structures, it's not surprising that the failure rate is so high. So I think it is important that this department engages with Treasury as soon as possible to do a proper evaluation of the cost and benefit. The cost obviously being how much would it cost to set up the institutions, and the benefit being reducing the failure rate, of course.
I also want to add on what Honorable Papa is saying, that the department must first understand why it was established. It was established because there is an expectation that the department will address all the challenges that have been identified regarding the development, sustainability and growth of SMMEs and cooperatives. The report that we keep on referring to is a report that was commissioned by DTI, which indicates that there is 88% failure rate. So that report was done before the establishment of this department. Therefore, it would not be correct to perceive that the 88% failure rate has been caused by this department. The responsibility of this department is to correct that. It would then be not a realistic perception to create an impression that it is this department that has caused that 88% failure rate. This department is established to address exactly that. Reverse the 88% failure rate. But that also is important for the department to be conscious of, so that if the programs that were inherited by the department from DTI, which was responsible for development of SMMEs and cooperatives, and all that has been done by other departments, resulted in an 88% failure rate, what would be the reason for the department to continue doing those things? Instead of finding new interventions that would actually reverse the result of what happened before the establishment of this department. I think that is very, very important for the department to be conscious of. Because if the department is not conscious of that, it will continue to do with the program. So the research and policy unit is very critical in analyzing those programs in relation to the results, and also in analyzing what is being done by other departments, which contributes to the 88% learning.
Thank you. Just a clarity from my part. I know that there are issues or areas that we say the department must do ABCD. They must coordinate. They must raise this. I just want to establish if there are no areas or issues where the department brings issues to us, so that us as the portfolio committee can raise issues with the treasury or with other committees.
I think it is a very valid point. I think it is a valid point. I also wanted to make another observation regarding the integrated development planning. Firstly, I want to comment the fact that there is a paradigm shift in terms of thinking from the department in as far as its interaction with local government and understanding the value of the intergovernmental relations framework. But the observation that I'm making is the misalignment of the strategic, the development of the strategic plan of the department, and then aligning that to the development process of the strategic plan of local government. I want to be very simple and specific. General elections take place 2 years before local government elections. Enabling national and provincial departments to develop their strategic plans, the 5-year strategic plan, a year ahead of the local government elections. Meaning that the 2015 strategic plan of the Department of Small Business was supposed to be adopted in 2015, when we were dealing with the 2015-2016 budget process. And immediately after that, there would have been interaction between the 278 local municipalities, 44 districts, and 8 metros to sensitize them what is in the stretch plan of the department in preparation for the local government elections that were going to take place on the 3rd of August. Because we all know the process that immediately after that, local government is going to embark on the 5-year strategic plan, which they adopt when? In June. So the threat plan of the department had to feed into the local government so that when they are developing their stress plan, they understand the stress plan of the department. Because in actual fact, the IDP process requires both provincial and national departments to participate. And and that has not taken place. And the fact is that the threat plan of the department is not known, including the projects that are being funded, are being prioritized, is then going to prevent a situation where during the integrated development planning process, such projects then appear in the IDPs of the municipality. The department has to get that in its system and internalize it so that come the next strategic planning process, the department is mindful of when local governments finalize their integrated development plan. Because if there is no alignment, other departments that are supposed to bring in services and align their budgets will not be able to do that because those things will not be appearing. So the APPs of the departments that are supposed to respond would not take into consideration of those things because the IDP of the municipality will not be directing them to do that. They would not have seen that in the IDP forum. So it is an observation on one hand, and the recommendations on the other hand, that the department should start working in that fashion. And it is through that that the department will then be able to coordinate and sign meaningful transversal agreements that can be implemented because the department would have budgeted and the local municipalities would have included those things in the IGP. There is no way that a transversal agreement on its own that is not talking to the IGP would be effective. It won't be effective. Any other comments? If there are no comments, it means that this table has done its work. And I would want that we give them a big round of applause. It's for the first time that we would spend less than 30 minutes discussing. We spent more than 30 minutes reading it, but discussing it and making comments less than 30 minutes, really they deserve a big round of applause. And performance bonus. Unfortunately, the committee section, which is what I raised with the manager, they don't interview chairpersons when they are appraising the staff that is under the committee section that says the portfolio committee. And if they would do that, they would arrive at different decisions regarding this staff because they do extremely well. They are... They don't look at the time that you get to work at 8 o'clock and you knock off at 4. They are driven by the goal. When are we supposed to achieve this? And that is what drives them. Sometimes they knock off at 4 a.m. just to go home and bath and come back. And that information doesn't get to the managers because at that time the managers are at home, but they are evaluating people that they don't even know what they are doing. They phone me during the night to clarify some of the things. staff. When I'm saying this, I'm including the content advisor, the committee secretary, the assistant, including my executive secretary. NOMSA is supposed to work in my office and solely in my office, but because NOLA has a bereavement, NOMSA has chipped in, and the managers don't even know those things. So, siyabonga kakhulu ukusinikela kwenu. We wish. Honorable Chair?
Chair, there's nothing to stop you from sending an unsolicited recommendation to the management.
I always do. And when they were actually not given a performance bonus, NOMSA and King, I queried that. It was NOMSA and King, and NOLA was given. And then I asked as to what criteria was used. I will again write this as an extraordinary kind of performance. Thank you very much. Can we have a tea break so that we can come back and deal with the rest of it? After tea break, we will start with the adoption of the report with the amendment and then go to the rest of the We break for 15 minutes. Come back at half past.
If I am to go ahead from the chair, I just noted some on 1.2 on page, or my page is not numbered, but 1.2, the second paragraph, the fourth line, it is further described as a tool. And then the following line, the same paragraph, it is also, if we can introduce is. Yeah, it is also used. The next paragraph under 1.2, I'm suggesting that after that inclusive, I wonder if we shouldn't say inclusive economic growth. But you know, the meeting will correct whether we think growth without economic suffices. But I suggest economic. And then I then go to 2.1. And under 2.1, the second line, to make find the present to finds, to add an S. And then proceed to 3.1. 2.1 second line, ANC and finds, to add an S. Then when I proceed to 3.1, I'm proposing two commas there, a comma after plans, the first line, and another comma after the term, after term. National development plans, yes, to have a comma after the plans and another comma after term. You know, it reads better with the two commas. The department plans over the medium term to review. But without the commas, the department plans over the medium term to review. So with the commas, it allows the department plans to review. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Let me, but have you got the commas as yet? 3.1. The proposed commas. The first comma is after plans, and the second comma is after term. Are you there, Babuknen? So if I'm to read it aloud, it must allow for two ways of reading it. The one way must be to say the department plans, comma, over the medium term, comma, to review. Which also allows which the department plans, you skip all this, to review. So the two commas makes it better. And then I then went to 4.3, fifth line, is spelling of dissent. Just to remove S. Are we together? 4.3, fifth line. The spelling of dissent to remove the S. Yes, so that we don't descend. We are together? Then 4.32, the first line, outcome sevens. I propose we have an S, and do we call it an apostolic comma or an apost something, the comma on top there. Sevens. Even a kandanyana lephezu. Are we together? And then 4.31, the second line from the top, I'm not very sure, but I just thought we could introduce the departments, because we are talking of the strategic plan of the department. Are we together? Mm-hmm. And then when we move to, but this, when we go to 4.3, the first bullet, I noted that
Yes, yes, yes. And then under 4.3, I'm proposing government's commitment. Government's commitment.
Mm-hmm.
A bullet, the first bullet. Oh, which means it should be 4.4 now. Yes. Yes. So that 4.4, the third line, the first bullet, governments. And then I then moved to 5. The first line, I'm proposing support. First line, five. Support. And then... Elaine, you got? Yes, below supports and contributes. So I'm a SS. And then also on the second line, support.
It's plural.
Oh.
Then support has to be one.
Oh, okay. Well corrected. Oh, which means even that contribute stays as was. And then the second line, and I propose it is being carried forward so that we introduce is. And then my last proposal, the end of that paragraph, 5, before the bullets, the department's budget. So we introduce Ikanda Ngan, you know, as thanks, Comrade Chair.
The committee is multi group. Thank you very much, Comrade Mabas.
Thank you.
I have a minor amendment to make on the last page, 10.7. The second line, involvement of local economic development structures of local government by active participation. Involvement of local economic development structures of local government. Because if you leave it at local economic development structures, no one would know what you're referring to.
10.7.
The second line that starts with upscale. Upscale the involvement of local economic development structures of local government.
used twice.
Of municipalities. Baba?
I just want to ask a question.
As I was saying, that capital letter of structures we should remove, so that what is about it is about LED.
And if we can then have LED in brackets to indicate what you are talking about. Involvement of local economic development structures in bracket LED of municipalities.
I wanted to ask a question here. I could be completely out of order, but just for consideration, on values on 7.3, the end. I'm not sure whether we are at liberty to suggest to the department, or of course, or whether this is cast in stone. Because when I look at those values, we are sheshwa, passion, integrity, transparency, innovation. You know, my brain then also goes to Batu Pele, because the way we are so much about people as SMMEs and cooperatives, in a way it also relates to the our next major topic, you know. So if even if it's not for now, if a suggestion can be made to the department that they should consider Batu Pele, so that whenever they do projects, whatever they do, they keep in mind that they are supposed to be more sensitive to people's needs and how they handle people, etc. So, but I do say I'm not sure whether this is our area or it solely belongs to the department. Thanks, Kobeche.
I think Batu Pele goes to all. Yeah, Batu Pele is overarching, should be the first. I agree with you. Whether it is the department or SAFER or whoever, Batu Pele, people first. Honorable Crook. We make it as a recommendation that the overarching value of government, which has to be included, is Batu Pele. Honorable Crook.
Ma'am Chair, that values come from the strategic plan from the department. So I don't know if we can change it, but I'm sure we can recommend that they add it. As far as I know, that values is part of the strategic plan process. So I don't know if we can change it as a committee. I don't think so.
What I'm hearing is that we could make it a recommendation that Batu Pele is already an adopted value for all government departments. And therefore, we are recommending that it has to appear in all the values of the department and the system. The assumption that we are making is that they forgot to put it there.
Gracias.
come with an opposing view, Chair. First, why do I suspect that when we believe that Batopil is an off-acting principle in all departments, and therefore it should feature somewhere else, not necessarily in the values, because it is not a value of this department. Otherwise, we would expect all departments that they must have it as a value.
Honorable Kruger, are you having a child in your pocket?
I agree that the very importance of the principle of Batopil, but it's only that I'm not comfortable whether it really has to fit to go down in the values which are determined by the department. That's why I'm saying maybe it would be elevated somewhere else. I don't know. Or else, whether maybe in the values, there should be a mention that these values are entrenched in the principle of Batopil in that very paragraph, the first sentence before. Because I'm not sure that we could put it as a value in one of these. That's my opinion, Chair.
Yes, I'm covered.
Are we done with?
What was the reason of having that twice?
What?
Of those values, having them twice, the other one above objective and the other one below objective. I can see the second one is summarized, the second one is in explanation.
I still need to do the quality check on this document. What was important for me was to gather like the strategic issues.
I was saying I'm still going to go through the entire document, you know, to ensure, you know, the quality assurance before it goes to back to the chairperson.
What will then be the process? Are we adopting it today or we adopt it next week? And how does that affect the fact that we are debating on the agent?
Thank you, Chairperson. The committee can adopt it next week because it's on the 17th. According to what is supposed to happen, you cannot debate it before it is 86. So if the committee adopts it on the 17th, then the 86 on the same 17 goes. By the time of a budget vote debate, it must have been 86. So it's up to the committee that it can go and do the cleanup quality checkup, and then the committee adopts it on the 17th. Then as the committee adjourns, the report will be 86, and then members can be able to debate it on the 18th. Also debating at 2. Gives us time.
Correct, Chair. I'm of the opinion that the amendments that were made were well captured. You know, I had that impression that even these detailed grammatical corrections here and there were more a formality, really. I will propose that we adopt with the amendments made, you know, and then the documents get circulated to all of us. If there is something major, then, you know, it's communicated to the chair. But that's my proposal that we adopt today.
Any seconder? Honorable Mwot.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Greetings to members and the department. Chair, I will move to support Bob Mabasa because although one came late, but I've been following the engagement, and there seems to be agreements among all of us that the report is up to standard, and the amendments were proposed and made. I think if we adopted those amendments, rather than, I think we'll be delaying if we take King's advice. Thanks, Chair.
I will then put a question. Is there a mover for the adoption of the report of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business on the budget vote 31st of the Department of Small Business Development for financial year 2017-2018, adoption with amendments?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report on the vote 31 of the Department of Small Business Development for the financial year 2017-18. Thank you.
Is there a seconder for that? Honorable Lau.
I second the adoption thereof.
Is there an opposing view on a adoption?
The DA reserves its rights on the report, Chair.
No, I'm laughing because the DA was one of the first to praise the report, mm-hmm. the quality, the content, mm-hmm. was being reserved.
It's a focus. We have to be the party.
Yeah. We need to take it to the party. So
it's not. No, I think there is a confusion which we need to clarify. The report that is being adopted. What is being adopted is the report of the Portfolio Committee. What the committee has processed and discussed, made observations of, and made recommendations to the department. That is what we are adopting. We are not talking about the budget vote. That is the conclusion that I wanted to clarify here. We are adopting our report, that this report is what was discussed by this portfolio committee. What is contained in here is what was processed, and we are all in agreement with it. How then different parties view the budget and the performance is another issue. But this report is the product of this portfolio committee. That is what I wanted to clarify and say maybe there is a confusion on what exactly are we doing here. Honorable Chan.
Yeah, with that clarification, that we're mm-hmm. happy to support the adoption of the report.
Thank you. Is there any contrary view? Thank you very much. The Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development has adopted its report on the budget vote 31 of the Department of Small Business Development for financial year 2018-2017. Thank you very much. With amendments. Can we then move Honorable Mayor.
Before we come to the next item, Chairperson, I want to ask when is the Mpumalanga report going to be ready and when can we have a look at it, maybe possibly before the debate?
I'm not sure whether you familiarize yourself with the program that we adopted. Reflected on it when we are discussing the Mpumalanga report. We are adopting it with the portfolio committee. That doesn't preclude you from raising whatever you would want to raise in terms of what you observed. But when we are discussing that report, it's reflected on the program of the portfolio committee, which has been adopted by the portfolio committee. Let me stop it. We are discussing that report on the 7th of June, and we have adopted that program. Can we then move to the next item? Which is the second, this is the consideration of the second consideration of the red tape impact assessment bill. Okay. In our last meeting, we were at a stage where we were looking at what had been submitted and we asked the legal team and the content advisor to work together to consolidate the information regarding the submissions that have been made. And we will then be going through that. But over and above that, we think that we are at a stage now where we can talk about how we view the bill. Does it address the issues of red tape? Is it desirable or not desirable? What are we saying as a portfolio committee? We are at that level now. After we have received the information that would have been consolidated by the advocate and the content advisor, we will then get into discussion and express our views on the bill. Can I allow the team to take us through the submission?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Charmaine, I'll go first, if you don't mind. Chair, pursuant to your introduction, just to remind members that on the meeting of the 23rd, of April, there were three, I would say, critical resolutions that the PC decided. One was to go through all the submissions or public comments as received by the Secretariat and try perhaps, you know, consolidate the submissions or synthesize them into a single document. Then from there, perhaps
expand it further by developing some form of a brief note or a concept note, which will then form the base for discussion by members. Number three, there was also a decision that we should engage National Treasury, because what we picked up on the bill is that even though there were financial implications, but they were not as detailed as required by. So, what Department of Small Business, I was working with Ulis on that one, who was actually supposed to have assisted me in terms of soliciting those inputs from Treasury. I don't think she's excited in getting the financial breakdown of what it might cost to establish, most importantly, the RIA unit as pay act. So what I did from my side, number one, was to try and do this. There's no topic on this page, I mean on this document, to consolidate the inputs as received from the six institutions. The first one was SASOL. The second one was Business Unity South Africa. The third one was SAIA, Chemical and Allied Industry Association. The fourth one was Johannesburg Stock Exchange, Department of Economic Development in Western Cape, and the last one was South African Development Foundation. It was very difficult to group together the inputs or contributions or comments from these inputs. As a result, this document is very vague, but it will assist perhaps members who have not gone through the submissions to lift what are some of the critical issues that are being raised by each respondent. What I also picked up when I went through the submissions was the understanding from the respondents is so diverse such that it made it difficult really to try and come up with a succinct document that will actually inform the members. So what I did to support this document was to develop a brief note or a discussion document by members, specifically again lifting up six critical issues. It's this document here, which I call for discussion by members of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development, where I was trying really to lift just critical issues that I think the members should focus on in terms of reaching a conclusion, whether they want to go ahead with the bill or they don't want to go ahead with the bill, or they want it amended in a manner that would suit the Portfolio Committee. I'm not sure if the members would want me to go through each and every one of these points just to highlight what each point entails on this document.
Honorable Kruger.
Please allow me just to say something about the submissions of of the different organizations. We must remember that red tape for big business is not an issue, okay? Because they can afford red tape. And most of the time, big business use the red tape that exists in government to have an unfair competition, unfair advantage over small business. So of course most of the negative comments will come from big business, definitely. I mean, that's expected. You will see there's no comments from small business. So most of this, I mean, if you look at Saki, if you look at Busa, all of their interest is about big business. So In Afrikaans, they say you must take their comments with a nippy of salt. Because, as I say, big business don't care about, they got a lot to say about red tape, yes. They voice it a lot, like politicians. We always talk about red tape. But they're not serious about red tape because they just appoint somebody. They can afford to appoint somebody to get that red tape out of their way. And as I say, they use it most of the time. So they use red tape for that unfair competition over small business to get that tenders and what, because they got the ability and the staff to handle that side of red tape where small businesses come to this big wall and they can't tender for that. And that's what I want to say. Thank you, Matthew.
Content advisor.
Perhaps, Chair, just to add, I hear what Honorable Kruger is saying, and it's one of the reasons why when I worked on this document, I decided to take, this scrabble or this document that I've developed, inputs from members aside, and just went straight through the issues, the technical issues, for debate by this portfolio committee. For instance, if we use scope of the bill as number one, honestly, that has got nothing to do with what Busa or Saki, anyone is saying. It's now for you as the portfolio committee members to engage specifically on the scope of the bill to say, I'm saying in terms of the scope of the bill, I don't know, it's not for me to decide, really. Again, if you look at the mandate, if I'm talking about the mandate overlap, is the bill correctly placed within this portfolio committee or DPME? It's for you to decide, really. For me, is to try and lift up those issues, technical issues that the members should debate and perhaps, based on the outcome, decide on whether they want to go ahead with the bill or not. Thanks, Chair.
Have you covered everything that is on this document topic? What I'm asking you to do is take us through the document.
Okay, honourable members, I've indicated that on number one, in terms of the scope of the bill, my focus there really is to say there was a reason why this particular department was created, as outlined in the National Small Business Act. So I'm now contrasting that with what is contained in the bill, which says the bill might necessarily affect the big business. So that's what I'm trying to channel the members to debate. In terms of the small business development, we have a mandate that says we should only focus, for instance, on the entities where the number of employees is 200 or the annual turnover of 50 million rands. It's something that the members will decide, really. It's just a guide from me. It's not for me to decide. Again, in terms of the mandate overlaps, I'm also raising an issue there to say you may find that the members decide that indeed they need this particular bill, but in terms of its placement, it could better be handled, for instance, by Economic Development Department or the Department of Trade and Industry. The reason why I'm saying this is because I'm tying up this one with the sub-outcomes of the MTSF. If you go through 2014-2019 MTSF, sub-outcome 3, each department has a specific role to play in as far as the development of, in as far as the economic development is concerned. It's one issue, honorable members, that we need to debate, maybe not today, some other time. I will introduce it in the forthcoming week. Chapter 4 again of the National Small Business Act empowers the minister by notice in the Government Gazette to publish guidelines for organs of state in national, provincial, and local spheres of government. That's another issue that I think perhaps the members need to debate to see if there is no duplication in as far as this bill is concerned in relation to Chapter 4 of the National Small Business Act. The fourth one, the tagging of the bill. Perhaps my colleague Ushamain will expand on that one. I'm just an economist with little background in legal. My reading of the bill, really, having gone through a number of previous submissions that have been done by the members, also reading of the bills that have been submitted by the executive, by deputy minister or minister, I was of a different view, perhaps to say in terms of its tagging, it was not correctly tagged. But Ushamain will expand on that one. On the separation of powers, it's another debate perhaps that the members will have to go through. There is, for instance, a view that perhaps the Parliament should consider having its own SEERs to ensure the separation of powers. That's number one. But what I'm raising on this one as well is to say the bill seems to suggest or to propose that when the members or when the legislature, either the member or the committee, introduces the bill, it should go through the SEERs process of the executive, the SEERs process of the executive, which to me, it sort of clouds the separation of powers, when in actual fact, perhaps the reason why members are eligible to submit the private member's bill or the committee is eligible to submit its own bill was precisely to deal with the issue of the separation of powers. But if you have the legislature in its bill that seeks to suggest that no, when a member is considering the bill, it should not be taken back to executive. To me, it sounds like it's clouting the separation of powers. So it's something that the members, they need to decide as well, including whether they want to recommend that the Parliament or the legislature should have its own SEERs unit to look at this bill, including the introduction, for instance, of the socio-economic impact assessment. Yeah, that's for the members to decide. The last one on financial implication. Again, here, maybe it's my reading of the rules of the Parliament. To say that they specifically require a member who proposes the bill to supply the detailed financial implications, be it on the provinces, be it on the local government, or on the other departments. The members can actually refer to the bill under financial implications, which, in my view, the financial implications that have been supplied was not necessarily what is required in terms of the rules of the Parliament. That's my own assessment of reading the bill. As I'm saying, I'm just a mere economist. Ushamain will assist me on the other issues that are more technical legally. So what we did here, like I'm saying, Ilis from the department, I asked her to assist me in terms of engaging with National Treasury to see if they can assist us to get a detailed breakdown of the financial implications. And then she came back to me to say it's impossible, it's difficult. It's the member himself who's supposed to develop the financial implications. So I was then caught in between. As a result, it's basically what we are recommending there again, to say the members should debate the financial implications of the bill and perhaps take a decision.
Any additions that you want to make?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, good afternoon, members. if I can maybe, Suisiza has addressed you guys on both looking at some of the submissions that were received, as well as an analysis that he himself had done. So if I can maybe first just go to public, the public submissions. I have picked up on a couple of high-level things that have come out from the submissions. Some of the submissions, for instance, from JSE and from Sasol, have expressed a concern about the inclusion of self-regulatory bodies in the bill. And they were saying that it might have more impact on them, that it might be more of an administrative burden, that there might be conflict between their laws and so on. But I don't think that this comment per se affects the next step that this committee must do, which is going to be a motion on the desirability of the bill. But I'm mentioning it because it is one of the highlights that stood out, and it is something that, should the bill be found desirable, we'll have to look at. What is the extent of the application on self-regulatory bodies, and should it apply at all? The other big thing that stands out, and I think this is something that will affect the question on the motion of desirability, is the scope of the bill, and with that, its location. And the submissions that have addressed these issues is that of the Chemical and Allied Industries Association, BUSA, and the Western Cape. And the question that kind of is being asked is, first, is this bill going broad enough? Should it not be something that affects all business, and therefore should be located somewhere else and not in the Department of Small Business? Or conversely, should the bill's focus not be more limited and specifically things be situated in the small business? And I think that is a question that this committee will have to consider. What would the committee like the scope of this bill to be, and where should it be situated? And if the decision of the committee is the scope should be that small business, and it must be in small business, then that speaks towards desirability. If the committee says, look, this bill will inadvertently affect big business and it should be situated elsewhere, then that affects the desirability to another side. But that is in one of the discussions that the committee must have. Another big one is the balance between the socioeconomic impact assessment and this red tape impact assessment, and how the two work together. One of the, and again, this was from the BUSA and the Western Cape comment. One of the proposals was, in fact, that perhaps the SAAS process should be incorporated into this bill, which again broadens the scope of the bill. And the other question was, but isn't there a duplication? Now, the socioeconomic impact assessment, if we go and have a look at the actual, and it was presented to the members how that socioeconomic impact assessment works, there's no question on red tape. So I don't think that for me would be a concern to this committee. The socioeconomic impact assessment is a total different test that is applied from red tape. The question could be whether the two should be in one bill. That is maybe something that also affects the scope. But that is also then another discussion. And then the second last thing that stands out quite big is the issue of cost. And you have already now been hearing about the cost and National Treasury and so on. If at this point, if I may maybe go just at that stage, to the comment that was made about whether the bill sufficiently supply information to this committee. The rules of Parliament does not require a specific, what would I call it, financial analysis. The rules only require that, sorry, I just want to actually get the actual rule out. The rules just require that a member must, whoever introduces a bill must provide, and I want you to read it out. It is the new National Assembly rules, Rule 279. It is sub-rule 1C3. It says give an account of the financial implications of the bill for the state. Now, implications is very broad, and I'm sure members have worked on more than one executive bill, and you will recall, if you look at the memo on the objects, it's one of the things that we as advisors to Parliament always complain about, that there's not enough information in that. But that is maybe a fault of the rules, and it's definitely not a fault of the bill. The other problem, of course, is that I understand what the department says about National Treasury and the fact that the member must approach National Treasury, but I think that there's a little bit of a problem there. It's National Treasury is not open necessarily to members of Parliament. So if this committee feels that this bill is desirable, but the only concern is the cost, then I would my recommendation to the committee would be that it must be the committee that calls Treasury to come and talk to the committee. That is not something that the member will have the authority to do. But I think if there are other reasons for this bill to not be desirable, then that is perhaps something where we can simply say that the cost aspect is something that we are concerned about. Because the comments are that, yes, there must be a unit established in small business. Every department will have to do certain tasks. And yes, that will cost money. There is no doubt about it. There will be remuneration that will have to be paid. What the member in the bill states is, however, that if you look at the benefits to the country, that will outweigh the possible cost. And that is then something that this committee must consider. Does the cost of this bill outweigh the benefits, or do the benefits outweigh the cost? The last thing on the public submissions that I would like to address the committee on is there was a question on constitutionality and from the Western Cape, and I think it is something that must be just discussed with members. Because it is something, in any event, that comes up quite regularly in legislation, where national legislation places an obligation on the province or on a municipality or at the local level. And the concern was that what gives Parliament the right to impose on provinces and on local government? And the answer is, in fact, that Parliament has plenary power. And that means that Parliament can make any legislation, can develop any legislation. The only limitations that are placed on Parliament is by the Constitution and specifically by, I just want to get the actual sections, by Section 44(1) of the Constitution, which says that Parliament, in respect of a matter listed in Schedule 5, Parliament may only pass legislation if it is necessary to either maintain national security, maintain economic unity, maintain essential minimum standards, or establish essential minimum standards for services, or to prevent unreasonable action taken by a province. And then in respect of a committee and a member, neither of these may introduce a money bill. So those are the only constitutional limitations placed on Parliament. From a legal point of view, I'm satisfied that the bill is constitutional, and that should not be a concern to the committee at all. If I can then go to the aspects mentioned by the content advisor, I think there's just a few things that I maybe want to just add. In respect of the classification of this bill, it has been classified as a Section 75, and that has been done by the Joint Tagging Mechanism. The Joint Tagging Mechanism's decision is final. we have again advised the Joint Tagging Mechanism, and we're waiting for their decision, but at this point in time, the bill is classified. Should the Joint Tagging Mechanism decide at some stage to change that classification, that will be for them to decide at that stage. But if I may explain to the members what the rationale is. Yes, I understand that a lot of the legislation that would come before this committee would affect a number of the issues in Schedule 4. You are working with the economy, so trade, buying, selling, those kind of things are all the things that you will look at, and that is a 76. But the Constitution is very limited in when a bill can be a 76. Ideally, the Constitution should have said to us, every bill is a 76 unless these things apply. But it's the other way around. Every bill is a 75 unless certain things apply. And those things are very, very limited. If it in a substantial manner falls within a Schedule 4 matter, and those are limited. So, in other words, trade would be one of them, consumer protection, tourism, traditional leadership, welfare. Those are the kind of things that fall in Schedule 4. This bill deals with legislative process. None of that is in Schedule 4. The only other instances where a bill may be classified as a Section 76 is if it deals with the delegates voting from the provinces in the NCOP, if it deals with municipal representation, if it deals with the public protector, with the public administration, with the PSC, with the public service itself, if it deals with the Financial and Fiscal Commission, or if it deals with the seat of Parliament. This bill does not deal with any of those, which means that it must be a 75. So what we must remember is that classification does not equate to consultation. Classification means that in the select committee, in fact, this committee will not be affected by the classification at all. This committee will vote normally because that is how votes go in the National Assembly. It is only the National Council of Provinces that have two types of voting. With a 75 bill, the National Council of Provinces votes per member. And with a Section 76 bill, they vote per province. And that is where the difference comes in. And it's the only difference. Because when it comes to consultation, there should still be thorough consultation with the provinces on this bill. Because, yes, it gives functions to provinces. It says provinces will have to do something. So there will have to be thorough consultation in both this House and in the National Council of Provinces. But that does not affect the classification, does not affect the process through Parliament. Process through Parliament is different from the consultation and the facilitation of public involvement. So I don't think those two must be confused. It is. I understand that the feeling is we would almost want provinces to have a little bit more say in this bill. But unfortunately, we are limited by the Constitution. So that is why that was there. And then just a quick note on separation of powers and where this unit would be situated. We must keep in mind that separation of powers does not mean that there cannot be cooperation. So there would be two options. We are, in fact, currently... we have in the past, and I'm hoping for the discussions to continue, to bring a form of SAYAS into Parliament for committee bills and for private members' bills. The talks have started, and then because of a little bit of an excessive workload, it died out a bit. But I'm hoping that we'll pick it up again soon, and that there will be something that will help Parliament in a committee bill and a private members' bill to do that kind of impact assessment. For that, Parliament will have one of two choices. One would be to establish a unit in Parliament, which costs money. Secondly, would be to ask DPME to utilize the expertise that they have. Keep in mind that neither the SAYAS nor this bill stops a bill from being introduced. So it does not affect the constitutional right of introduction. What those two exercises do is to help the people who make decisions make a better and informed decision. So you sit with a bill before you that tells us how our roads must look if it's a national road, for instance. But there is no information on what the impact of these let's say the Act says a national road must have at least a 10-meter side area. How does that impact the community that is next to these national roads? How does it impact farmland? Those questions are not before the committee. And that is what a SAYAS aims to do. So it doesn't stop the legislation, it just helps the committee to make a better decision. So yes, I understand that there is a concern, why would you want a bill from a committee or a private member to be looked at by a department? But I think that is where the cooperation comes in. And it's simply a decision that Parliament will have to take. Do we want to spend the money and get our own experts, or do we want to use the experts that are there? I don't think that it interferes with separation of powers because it doesn't affect the decision-making in the end. It will be a cooperation of experts. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that was all the things that I found relevant from a legal point of view. But if there is any other questions that have some legal implications, I'll be happy to answer.
We now open for members to comment, ask questions of clarity, make input. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, ma'am. I would like just to address the whole situation with big and small business. You'll remember when I did my presentation, I talked about the broken window principle. So whatever red tape this bill going to address and going to reduce in the future, big business will automatically benefit from it, automatically, without any question. So at the end of the day, big business will be benefiting from the red tape reduction unit in the Small Business Development Department. Then I also want to speak about why in the Small Business Department. You know, right in the beginning when we started, you know, and when this department started, we looked at the challenges of small businesses and cooperatives. And first, it was about finance, am I right? And there was a problem about skills. That was the second biggest problem. The third was markets. And the fourth was red tape, if my memory serves me correct. Now, we sought solutions for the first three. I mean, CIFAR is supposed to sort out this financial side. CEDA is supposed to sort out the skill side. Government made, you know, the 30% side away, put away benefits for small businesses. So that was sorted out. So now we still sit with the red tape. So it's common sense then for me that Small Business Development Department must sort out red tape. So although it's not a stand-alone mandate, but if you look at all our mandates and programs, regulatory environment, regulatory, there's a lot of words mentioned that Small Business Development Department must look at the environment of where small businesses operate. So we need to look at it, and that's why my argument is that Small Business Development Department is the correct department where. And then, thirdly, for this committee, I think it will leave a legacy for this committee, for all the members here sitting in this committee, that if we can, because it's very difficult to reduce red tape. Worldwide, if you look at the research done on red tape, it's a very difficult concept, number one, to understand, but number two is to reduce it as well. But if this committee can make sure that we make red tape reduction an effort, and we have an impact especially on cooperatives and very small businesses, it can make a huge impact on this committee and our right to existence. Because at the moment, we sometimes question it ourselves. Say, but what are we doing here? Is there any impact for our existence here? But red tape, this bill can make sure that there's. Then the finance, Ma'am Chair, remember also in my presentation, in 2004 it was calculated that red tape cost small businesses 74 billion rand per annum. So I don't know what it costs today. It could be a fortune. In Australia, they did some research, and for instance, red tape cost supermarkets 10% of their turnover. Red tape cost you about $20 to $30 per head for wedding extra, for weddings and function centers. Red tape adds approximately 5% to your plate of food at a restaurant. And red tape and government fees and charges represent approximately 25% of a ticket price for a tourist attraction visit. So there's no two ways about it, that if we as Small Business Development Department can reduce red tape, cost will outperform, or the saving will outperform the cost of red tape. The last point why it must be in the Small Business Development Department is because Small Business Development Department, that's where the experts on small business is supposed to sit. So, and we need experts to reduce this animal of red tape. If you can't just ask anybody to come and write a procedure or do something about red tape. We need experts that know exactly how business is operating and what is the challenges of small businesses. So that's why we need to have that unit in Small Business Development Department, because that's where the experts sits. And again, as I said, at the end of the day, big business will also be the benefit of that effort. Ma'am Chair, I think that is what I want to more or less say. That's all. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Thank you, Chair. It's not a comment, it's a question seeking clarity from the legal advisor. With regard to the consultations with the provinces, when should that process happen? Before the bill is adopted or after the bill is adopted? The reason why I'm saying that, Chair, is that this department is a national department. Then in other provinces, you have your economic development MEC's department doing what this department is doing in the national level. So it means that whatever we do nationally should talk to what they are doing, because they are dealing with small businesses. That's why I need clarity as to when should consultation take place. Just for now, thanks.
Thank you. The process going forward is as follows. The first step now is for the committee, after deliberating on this bill, to take a decision on the desirability of this bill. Is this a bill that this committee feels is desirable at this point in time, taking all the circumstances into account, all the scope, the cost, whatever, is this bill desirable? If the committee decides that the bill is not desirable, then the committee will develop a report. That report will go to the House, and the House will also consider whether they agree with the committee's report and adopt the report or refer it back to the committee. If the committee decides the bill is desirable, then it follows a much longer route. Then there will be, the next step will then be a call for comments. And it's at that stage
that my recommendation would be that specific requests are sent to the provincial departments to give their inputs to this committee to consider. So depending on what the outcome is of the motion of desirability, it will be almost right after that decision. So before the bill is adopted in the House, but after motion of desirability.
Just a follow-up.
Okay. I would like to give Mwabe, because it was his question, to follow up first.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'm covered in terms of the response, but I wanted to come up with a concern, with the comment. So I don't know whether I should go ahead to allow Honorable Kruger to make his follow-up.
Yes, I just want to ask the question then. Let's assume that the committee find the bill desirable. Will there be a process of fixing, if I can call it fixing, the concerns of the committee so that we just, because surely this is not cast in stone. There is some concerns in the bill, which we as a committee, I mean, I'm one expert, there's a lot of experts around me, where we can then fine-tune this bill and then send it out to the provinces and for comment. So I'm just asking if the process allowed that.
Chief, if the bill is found desirable, then the committee can decide how it wants to deliberate on this bill. Normally, a bill is first sent out for public comments to get some input for the committee to get an idea of what needs to be changed, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, and then the committee goes through the process of changing. But if the committee, after the motion of desirability, having now looked at a number of submissions already, says that, look, we think that we are going to start working towards some changes. It would probably be good to have some... We won't be able to do a B-bill at this stage, because a B-bill is only once you go to the House. But we can start working on an A-list of sorts to say, you know, with this bill, these are the things that the committee is already considering amending, and we would also call for comments on that. So yes, it is possible, because it is for the committee to decide how it wants to deliberate. The National Assembly rules do not prescribe what the exact nature of deliberations must be. Kind of sets out what the stages are and more or less what must happen during each, but not the specifics of how to do that. So yes, it can be done.
Honorable Khoza, followed by Honorable Laotse and Honorable Mwak.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just making a follow-up before I can make my questions. I'm making a follow-up in the involvement of the provinces. At the initial stage, was it only the Western Cape that was requested for submission, or it was extended to all the other provinces?
Can I answer it? You must remember this bill was published in the Government Gazette. So, yes, everybody in South Africa had access to it. So it was for comments. And it was definitely sent to all the provinces.
No, thank you, Chairperson. After the deliberation or the view of the legal person, which we also noted through our contact advisor, she mentioned about the concern about the self-regulatory body, which is like it's also which is who can make this to be very may be impossible to make it work well. And also the rule 22791C3C about the financial implications. So when we see also the budget we have, which was not even going to make any changes, and we're still going to establish those units out of that budget, surely is going to have a financial implications for now. Except if we can get enough budget to radically transform the community. But as for now, we can't rely on this budget and add another burden to slow movement of this department. The issue of consultation to the provinces, I just want to know how must the provinces be informed through the government gazette or through the newspaper like that, or must be informed formally, and there will be an engagement, like consultation on their constituencies and come back with a recommendation from the people, or they must just see it like anybody in the country. If such, we can't say is it fully consultation. It can be a partial consultation, which to me is not good. So the other is about the Chapter 4 of the National Small Business Act, which the contract advisor talk about there might be a duplication. So also, I don't think this the bill also was consulted broad enough to check whether there will be duplication or not. And there is a Parliament CEISA, yeah, which is recommended maybe to have CEISAs in Parliament system, which we need clarity about that. If the CEISA in Parliament also, is it going to be managed by the Parliament itself or by which particular department? For now, let me pause here, Chairperson, but I see there are so many loopholes for the bill to move forward with this, what the legal specialist has said. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My comment is around the as to where the bill must be placed. The department vis-a-vis the one recommended, monitoring and evaluation. Chairperson, this is a very good bill, but we must not misplace it, because it must work and assist our people in reduction in red tape reduction as it is intended. My own view, Chair, is that if the bill is within one unit in the Department of Small Businesses, I think we are limiting its scope. As I've alluded earlier on, that in provinces we've got we've got economic development and tourism, like in KZN departments, and they do exactly like what the mandate of this department is. Well, in KZN, when we meet, one guy was from Minister Zikalala's office. When he explained, when we were there at Tekwi Municipality, what they are doing, even from cooperatives to SME, it was clear that they are doing what the national department is doing. And also look at the municipalities themselves. I'll make an example about Itewin, because that's my constituent. You know the street vendors, the frustration they have when they want those permit and licenses. So this thing of red tape is all over. Now I've got fears if we put it in this department. I will, as it is recommended by one of the researchers, maybe support that the DPME, Monitoring Evaluation, be brought in, because that is where they deal with, I think the National Plan is, its National Commission is there as well, where they deal with planning and also monitor and evaluate the implementation of various legislations. Maybe if it can be placed there, something can be achieved. But also my second worry is the financial implications, as the Honorable Advocate have said, our own advocate, that maybe in as much as it's good, now we'll have a problem with the current budget that we have. Well, I was talking to him during tea time, fortunately, to say that the budget of this department is not as radical as the government is saying, to start with. Now, if we also bring the other burden, I don't see us achieving. In as much as these are noble ideas and a suggestion, we are faced with frustrations now as to how to accommodate these noble ideas that Honorable Kruger has researched so much. Maybe let me stand there, Chair. Let me stop there.
Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's incontrovertible that the bill falls within the mandate of the department, in the sense that the department's mandate is to create an enabling environment and lead the coordination of such enabling environment for small businesses. And I think the point that Mr. Kruger says about the benefits accruing automatically to big business is true. And that there are many other instances in legislation where bills developed in one department will affect others. But it's where the ownership of the bill lies, which is the issue. So I think that the committee has, if I may say, five ways of approaching this afternoon. The first is to declare the bill desirable in principle. The second is to say the bill is desirable, but we need more guidance. We need a sayer. We need a costing. We need to look at the particular clauses that may have some potential for amendment. The third is that the bill would be better placed within another department, whether that be the DPME, the DTI, or EDD. And I think that there are arguments on both sides here. I mean, I think it's true to say that the DPME, that its purpose is to do performance monitoring and evaluation. But I think the point that Mr. Kruger mentions around the function of this department being given teeth through a bill such as this is very important. And this is where the expertise lies within small business development. So the department would be the place for this bill to reside. That's the third option. The fourth option is that we recommend that the bill and its provisions be incorporated into the amended National Small Business Act. Again, there are pros and cons. The pros are that it will give that act more teeth in itself. The cons are that this bill is self-contained in its own right. The contents and the provisions of this bill are sufficient to make it a piece of legislation that will stand on its own two feet. And then the fifth option is to reject the bill, which I think would be giving a very bad signal from this committee that somehow or other we don't believe that the elimination of red tape is an important objective for the country. So I think those are the five options, and I'd like to table a motion to the committee that we declare this bill desirable and that we call for further investigations through a SEER process, through Treasury, to enable us to further deliberate how to streamline this bill, how to polish this bill, how to make it into a bill that this committee can be proud of. Thank you, Chair.
Is it possible for Honorable Chan to give that your input, because it is very important for me to capture it?
Sorry, Chair, just repeat that, please.
You have made valid proposals, and I was trying to capture what you were saying as you were speaking, and I wasn't able to capture everything.
Would you like me to repeat the five options?
Yes.
Okay. Option number one is for this committee to declare the bill desirable. Option number two, which is actually a subset of option number one, is to declare this bill desirable subject to its going through a series of evaluations through the SEER process, through consultations with third parties, Treasury, provinces, so that we can refine the bill and polish it up and put it into a form that the committee is proud of. Number three is that we recommend that the bill be moved to one or other departments. And three that have been mentioned are the DPME, the DTI, and Economic Development. Number four is that the bill be incorporated as part of the amended National Small Business Act. And number five is that we reject the bill. And my recommendation through tabling a motion is that we opt for recommendation two, which is that we declare the bill desirable, but that we request it to be further investigated in terms of its cost effectiveness, applicability to provinces and other third parties. Does that sound, clear things up?
Repeat what I'm hearing the Honorable Chan saying, and what I have heard other members saying. The submission by Honorable Laozi is that there are a number of loopholes in the bill, which include the financial implications, the broadening of the consultation process to include other provinces. He's raising the issue of the Chapter 4 of the Small Business Act. And his view is that the bill was not consulted enough to give this committee. An opinion on what to do with the bill. The submission by Honorable Ngabe is that the bill is a good bill, but it must be well located for it to address the issues that it seeks to address. And his view is that he doesn't say where should it be placed, but he's saying that for us to arrive at a decision that addresses that, we will need to bring the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation again to the Portfolio Committee and engage with it. We will also have to bring in Treasury for financial implications assessment of the bill vis-a-vis the budget allocation of the department. Honorable Chance is saying we have five options. The first option is to declare the bill desirable in principle. The second option is desirable subject to the process of polishing it up and ensuring that it is better located. The third option is that the bill... Can I finish so that you will? The third option is that the bill will be better located in another department. The fourth option is that the bill be incorporated in the amendment of the National Small Business Act process. And the fifth option is that you reject the bill. And then, out of the five options, then Honorable Chan is putting a motion to this committee that the committee declares the bill desirable and subject it to a process of further investigation and polishing up. Okay. You can make a comment, Honorable Chan.
Thank you, Chair. Your summary of my five proposals was accurate except for one thing. In point number two, the location of the bill doesn't feature into that. It's the cost-effectiveness of the bill. The location of the bill is option three. But my motion stands, as you declared it.
So option three relates to the desirability subject to a process of assessing the cost-effectiveness.
That's option two. Option three is...
Yes, I'm referring to option two.
Yeah, option two, that's right.
Yes, I'm reading option two.
Subject to cost effectiveness and polishing.
Yes.
Correct.
Honorable Mabas.
Comrade Chair, without going into the issues that have already been raised by colleagues and comrades, I will comment that we don't isolate one option against the others, but we regard them as a package, so that, in other words, before we get all the inputs, etc., I don't think it would be a good idea to isolate option number one and take it in isolation. You know, that's just my comment, that we mustn't isolate. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Can I also paraphrase what I hear you saying? Honorable Mabasa is saying a number of submissions have been made by various members, including the submission by Honorable Mlaote, the submission by Honorable Mwabe, and the five options put forward by Honorable Chan that we can choose from. And then what I hear, the submission made by Honorable Mabasa is that let us not rush and pick up one and choose an option of saying whether the bill is desirable. Let us not isolate just one option. Let us follow a process, open the process again, which will give us an opportunity to take into consideration submissions that have been made by other members before we arrive at a point of saying this is desirable or not desirable. Am I hearing you well? Okay. Honorable Khoza.
Chairperson, well, let me appreciate that the sponsor of the bill has made an indication that it's a very difficult subject to deal with in terms of red tape reduction, and also indicate that most of my concerns are highlighted by the previous speakers in terms of the financial implications that we can downplay when we're making a decision here at our own risk, because when we're looking at the budget of the department, we can see that we cannot be helping the department if we can put another burden on top of what, of the stress that the department is in terms of the budget allocation that the department has been allocated. In addition to that, Chairperson, I'm also of the view that, yes, it might be seen as correct that the bill can be well located in the small business department. But I want to differ a little bit when I'm looking at the mandate and the capacity of the department, that I think it cannot be in a position to deal with overseeing, because when I'm looking at a bill, it is spreading all over where we find small business and big businesses. So to me, I think we cannot be able to say, I'm just emphasizing the point that it cannot be located in small business department because of its wide scope in the inclusiveness of business, because it takes everybody, whilst the department's mandate is for small business and cooperatives. Perhaps if it was limited to those, then I would agree that the bill is well located in that department. The issue of the taking, I think perhaps I need to be schooled in terms of that one, because I find it very, very much confusing. So if we can be able to say, because I'm looking at the red tape as an aspect that is touching the local government, the province, and even the traditional areas where there are traditional leaders. So I want us to look at that and be helped in terms of. Thank you, Chair.
I also want to paraphrase, because I want to make sure that I have understood the submission by each and every member, so that I don't make notes that are contrary to what each member has submitted. What I hear Honorable Khoza saying is that one, the sponsor of the bill has highlighted during all the submissions that he has made that the issue of red tape on its own is a complex matter. He also mentioned the number of years that he spent, meaning that his understanding of red tape is well ahead of all of us sitting here. Okay. Meaning that there is a need to also take us on board to make us arrive at the same understanding that he has. The second issue that is being raised by Honorable Khoza relates to the mandate and the capacity of the department, and is then saying when he looks at the bill and what it seeks to achieve, the bill is looking at issues that are even beyond the mandate and the capacity of the department. which is an issue that we cannot overlook. And the third issue that he is raising is the issue of tagging, which in his view is confusing in a sense that when he looks at red tape, he doesn't see red tape. He sees red tape also happening as a result of what happens at provincial government level as well as at local government level, including the traditional affairs. Therefore, in his view, the tagging becomes an issue, in that he would have thought that the consultation process, before even we get to a level of saying it is desirable or not, would have included those structures. That's what I hear. Is that what you are saying, Honorable Kruger? Okay, thank you. I heard you well. Honorable Kruger?
Ma'am Chair, just one point that we didn't speak about. It's about the committee's strategic plan. And unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. But one of the strategies that we decided upon was that we will legislate the reduction of red tape. It was definitely a strategy of this committee when we did our strategy plan. So we must also, when we decide on this bill, we must just revisit our strat plan and see what we had to say about that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kaba, followed by Honorable Mabas.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you will excuse me if I'm becoming naive out of maybe ignorance, but I'll beg to be pardoned. First, I still have that original problem of mine of thinking that the elimination and reduction of red tape cannot be limited to a single department. And I was also concerned from the very onset whether our bill was the red tape reduction, red tape elimination, red tape impact assessment. And I always had a problem. But now, with the arguments and facts forwarded, to me, they indicate that at some stage as this committee, we must come to a decision that as this committee, where does this place us? First of all, I have got no doubt that the red tape is something undesirable anywhere. And I thought in the process, there were processes throughout, whether they were succeeding or not, trying to work on this. And I have not, I don't remember that there has been a ruling that all those processes have failed and then been disqualified. But now, in this process, we are here as this committee, and we are looking at this bill as this committee, and looking at issues as this committee. And there are options which appear in front of us, several options. Therefore, for whatever reason, the committee has to come to a decision that as this committee, what does this mean to us? It's something else as Parliament or as a nation, what does this mean? But as this committee is looking at things that we have been raised, the capacity, the mandate, and all those things, to me, it will make things easier for us or for anyone else if, as this committee at this stage, we decide that, no, at this stage, let us reject this bill. So that anything else then will be based on that. Maybe arguments will be after that, but all the arguments that are in front of us now are not convincing me that as this committee or in the department, the bill is desirable in the department. Therefore, that is, I'm taking this, not necessarily saying if someone else says the bill is desirable as a bill, but not necessarily in the department. If we decide as this committee, I think, let me just make it clear that I believe that as this committee, at this stage, the bill is not desirable. Thanks.
I again want to paraphrase to make sure that I hear you very well. I hear Honorable Kapa saying that he believes that the elimination and reduction of red tape cannot be a responsibility of one department. I also hear you saying that there are many efforts that have been tried to eliminate and reduce red tape, and no assessment has been made and presented to this committee that would indicate that those efforts have failed, and therefore a bill is required. You are also saying that you have no doubt that red tape is not a desirable thing. We all don't want red tape. You are then saying, what does this mean to us as this portfolio committee? If in front of us, we do not have a report that tells us the impact of other efforts that have been put in place to deal with the issue of red tape. Therefore, we cannot, at this stage, arrive at a determination that says the bill is desirable because we lack that information. Therefore, you are putting forward a motion that says the bill is not desirable in the department to be processed by this portfolio committee. Did I hear you well? Honorable Mabasa, you had your hand up.
You know, the more we discuss this bill, the more we become aware of its value. But, and when I say its value, I see it being broad encompassing. It's even going beyond economic cluster. It's even going into the social cluster. So that if it is that broad covering, what will make us to qualify to have it inside our small department? For many reasons that have been given, the more we discuss, the more I realize that we don't qualify to have it inside the department. As for where it should be, that's something else. But I was just making that point that we cannot, because if we were to have it inside the department, economic development may as well have theirs. Trade and industry may as well have theirs. Health department may as well have theirs. And that is why I think from the executive side, they have the monitoring and evaluation as a unit that has an overall overarching responsibility, so that even the costs justify, you know, get better justified. So I wouldn't want to repeat the reasons that have been advanced by other members and colleagues. But what I'm also very sure of is agreeing with Honourable Kapa that it does not belong inside our department. Thanks, Comrade Chair. And we must also appreciate the fact that Honourable Kruger has gone to the trouble to which he went, because that has made us to appreciate the value of of red tape, you know, that it is there. It has awakened our consciousness. But having done that, we then ask ourselves the various questions that have been asked by members, and then we come to the answer that Comrade Kapa comes to, which I second. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Then I want to paraphrase. Honorable Mabasa is saying that the process that we have been engaging on discussing this bill has made him appreciate more the value of this bill. He says it is a broad bill that encompasses beyond the economic transformation cluster. It is a bill that would also touch on the social transformation cluster and a number of other departments and spheres of government. Therefore, the bill does not belong to the department when one looks at what could be achieved through the bill against the mandate and the capacity of the department. And therefore, would say that it is not desirable for it to be processed by this portfolio committee and also be located under the Department of Small Business Development. What could be done about the location of it is a matter that cannot be decided. Am I hearing you correctly? Cannot be decided by us. But the fact is, red tape is an issue which requires more an overarching kind of an approach than placing it under a small department. Am I hearing you correctly? Okay.
So, we have
two motions in front of us. The first motion from Honorable Chance is saying, let us declare the bill desirable, but subject it to a further to a process of further investigation and polishing up, taking into consideration all the issues that have been raised. And then there is a counter proposal that comes from Honorable Papa, which says that the bill in this department, processed by this portfolio committee, is not a desirable bill. However, the issue of reducing, eliminating red tape, eliminating and reducing tape red tape is an issue that cannot be a responsibility of one department. And that proposal is seconded by Honorable Mabaza in a sense of saying it is an overarching bill which addresses a broad issue that is beyond the mandate and the capacity of this department. The bill has got more value and it encompasses the economic transformation, the social transformation, and a number of other departments and spheres of government, and would therefore not make this department and this portfolio committee qualify to process this bill. It is an important bill. It's much broader than the mandate and the capacity of this department. Those are the two. The department, the portfolio committee then needs to take a decision on which direction we should be then taking based on these two submissions. The submission made, the motion put forward by Honorable Papa, seconded by Honorable Mabaza, and the motion put forward by Honorable Chance, we need a seconder for that, Honorable Kruger. Now, let us get to the direction of the, yes, Honorable Chance.
Thanks, Chair. I just want clarity on the first motion. What is the outcome of that motion? Because as I hear it, it's to say that the bill is not appropriate for this committee or department to process. But it doesn't then say what should be done with it, if unless I'm mistaken.
You will correct me, Honorable Mabaza, if I'm misrepresenting what you put forward. Honorable Mabaza said, the more we discuss this bill, the more we see the value of it. It is much broader. It is a much broader bill that encompasses economic development cluster, the social development cluster, a number of other departments and spheres of government. The bill does not belong to the Department of Small Business Development, therefore processed by this portfolio committee. It requires a decision to be made as to where to locate this bill and which portfolio committee and department, which portfolio committee has to process it and which department has to be the custodian of it. And Honorable Mabaza pointed out that that decision cannot be taken by us in this meeting. Honorable Chan.
So then who does take the decision? This committee is being presented to this committee. I mean, the bill has been presented to this committee. We can't just do nothing about it, just leave it in limbo.
There has to be a submission made by the members as to what do we do with it then.
There's one thing that I think has always existed, even before the discussion of the bill, that red tape has to be eliminated or reduced. That is why in our discussions we had processes of establishing whether the departments like monitoring and evaluation, what processes
do exist in this process of eliminating this. And I suspect that there are several departments also who might be having processes with some shortcomings, because everybody feels that the red tape has to be done away with. But now, what to me transpires here is that while the concept of reducing and eliminating red tape is something that is desirable in the country throughout, but I finally conclude that since it is being made a bill now, it is suggested to be a bill that is to be discussed by the department, that's where it becomes undesirable. And it can't, there can't be anything done, or there can't be any other thought if we don't make it clear that in the department, on this committee, we feel it is not desirable. Therefore, to me, that does not eliminate any other thought or looking for an avenue of trying to reduce or eliminate the red tape. Because to me, the target here is not making the bill. The target is eliminating or reducing red tape.
Thank you. I also add what you said earlier on, which became a hindering factor in the processing of the bill, is that already there are other efforts in place. But in the absence of a scientifically assessed impact of those efforts, it then becomes difficult to come up with another intervention, having not seen how those efforts are impacting. But also, even in the process, whether a decision is taken, let's say the bill is processed to and located to another department, that information will still be very, very important to say, we have these efforts in place. This is the impact of those efforts. Therefore, in the process of putting in place a bill, this is what we should be doing. That was your earlier submission, which I thought was also a very, very important submission for us to consider moving forward. Honorable Mthembu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think taking from what you have just said from Honorable Papa, in terms of having the efforts in place already, so it means, as we are in agreement, that red tapes should be eliminated or reduced. So ours is to say, as per Ubaba Umabasa has also said, that the more we discuss about the bill, it's the more we see its value. But as the department, as the portfolio committee, there's nothing that we can do about. But I think the what we can do is, in terms of the efforts that are already in place, for them to be looked at in terms of the loopholes and how can they be strengthened for us to be able to achieve towards the mandate as it's given and what is the core function of the department. But I think the proposal has been good, but let us look in terms of what we have already that can be corrected and be strengthened in order for us to be able to deal with these issues that are a hindrance for the department maybe to implement towards its mandate. Thank you.
Can I just make a correction? That one of the submissions is saying that the issue of red tape is beyond the mandate of the department. It therefore cannot be the responsibility of the department and this portfolio committee to assess the impact, because there is a department that is charged with that responsibility. It is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which assesses all the interventions that the government has put in place. It is that department that will have to come up and say, all these things are not working and therefore they need to be improved. And how the improvement needs to be done is a decision that cannot be taken by us. We can't tell how those need to be improved because we don't even have that report in front of us and we are not the custodian of that report. The custodian of that report is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation because it is mandated to monitor, plan, monitor and evaluate. When they have monitored and evaluated, they will replan again and propose the changes that need to be made. Honorable Kaba, followed by Honorable
Chair, maybe my clarity will assist the question that was asked by Honorable Chance. Out of ignorance, what happens then if the bill is rejected? Because he was asking about whether the bill would be rejected and then what. Normally, what happens? What would be the next step if the bill at some stage is rejected? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If the motion of desirability is rejected, the rules only provide for a report from this committee to go to the House. If the committee would really be of the view that this bill must be referred to another committee, that it's more appropriate in another committee, I must be honest, I don't know how to do that. We will have to maybe sit maybe with the NA table staff and find out what that process would be and whether it can, because I mean the bill is referred to the committee, so this committee to deal with, so this committee must now report to the House one way or the other. So for as I understand it, what the rules currently say is motion desirability rejected means that the bill is then reported on in the House and that is the end of the bill.
Yeah, but I wanted to make anything too complex. I think we actually have three motions before the committee in terms of the five that I put forward. The first is mine, seconded by Honourable Kruger. The second is Honourable Mabasa's, which is that the bill be, the broader implications of the bill be considered, and that it may be the committee then goes through a process which the legal advisor suggests for finding another home for it, owing to its importance, but its overarching impact. And the third is that it be rejected on the grounds, as Mr. Carper says, that we haven't got any evidence that the current activities to reduce red tape are failing. So this bill has no place in this department. I don't see anything wrong with having three motions, because I think it's got to be absolutely clear that this department, that this committee knows where it's taking this bill.
Content advisor?
Chairperson, I'm not sure if using the word reject, it's the appropriate one in this scenario. Perhaps that's why Ushamin is saying it's either desirable or non-desirable. I strongly support if the committee decide that it's non-desirable, we then, myself, King, and Ushamin, follow through to see how it can be referred to the relevant either portfolio committee or the department. Because all of you here agree that red tape is the issue. So it cannot just be rejected and then that's the end of it. I can sit down with Uchamin after the portfolio committee has resolved that the bill is not desirable, then, yeah.
I don't see the issue of red tape and elimination and reduction as an issue that we are saying all that is there is enough. What I hear being put forward is that there has been contemporary efforts to address the issue of red tape in the country. We don't have evidence as to the impact of it. That is one. And therefore, moving forward, not just now as a department or at this portfolio committee, moving forward as a country, we will need to get that information. That is a very, very important issue to consider. The second issue to consider is that our view, the view of this portfolio is that there is a view that says this issue is broader than the mandate of the department. Broader than the mandate of the department and the capacity of the department, including the financial capacity of the department. And therefore, there is a need to relook at how, where this issue of red tape bill should be placed. And then there is an issue, a motion that comes from Honorable Chance that says it is desirable. What I don't hear, which I knew will need clarity on, is whether it is desirable in a sense that this portfolio committee has to continue processing it when there are these other views of the value of it being much broader than the capacity of the department, encompassing in social transformation and economic transformation, and impacting in different spheres of government. I just want to get clarity from Honorable Chance as to whether the desirability that he is putting forward is for the committee, this one, to continue processing this bill beyond the desirability stage, or the desirability that he's talking about is in the context of the need for the bill to be looked at, but the bill itself being broader than the capacity in the department, and therefore another home needing to be looked at.
The answer to your question is the desirability to be processed by this committee.
Thank you, Chair. This assists me because, first of all, I wanted to ask that for the purpose of this discussion, let us agree or understand that the term reject, as having been mentioned by Honorable Chancellor's option 5,
and as I mentioned it, means the opinion of undesirability. That's what I understand. So if we understand that part, that's what in this case, case reject. And now, I also don't feel that Honorable Mamas was coming with a third option, because my understanding is that his explanation of the proposed bill being too broad for this committee, to me, it boils to say again, in this committee, is undesirable. Therefore, I take it that he was supporting me in undesirability and not coming with a third option. Thank you.
In actual fact, that is what I heard. That honorable.
No, I did say I'm seconding Comrade Kapa, and then I then spoke to the other issues.
Yes, that is what I heard Honorable Mabasa saying. The undesirability proposed by Honorable Kapa relate to this department and this portfolio committee. And meaning that the portfolio committee would have come to the end of processing the bill when reporting to Parliament. Can I finish this? Would have come to the end of processing the bill when reporting to Parliament. What then happens is a decision that can be taken somewhere else as to what then to do in the interest of eliminating the red tape and reducing the red tape, which then pushes again us to the first issue raised by Honorable Kapp, that says, what impact has been made by the instruments that have been put in place? And only after that, a decision then can be taken as to what needs to be done. In the absence of that report, it is a futile exercise to even recommend that a bill must be processed by a particular department, because there is no scientific report that has been put forward, either to Parliament or to the executive, that indicates that the existing instruments are not eliminating and reducing, or the existing instruments have got this gap and this gap and this gap. And the department that would have to produce that report is a department that is mandated to monitor and evaluate, and it is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Not to process the bill, to produce the report that tells, gives a direction, Guti. Is there an impact, positive impact, that is being made by the instruments that are in place at the moment? That's what I heard you saying, Honorable. Do you want to clarify that?
No, not that kind of.
Okay.
Sure. Chair, I think it is important for us to reiterate our understanding the need of elimination and reduction of it. When I was talking about several processes, I think what Honorable Chance was saying of talking about amendment in the Small Business Bill, to me, is one of the options that could be looked at when you are looking at, because the main things here is for the elimination and reduction of the this thing. What do you call this? This red tape. That's a thing. So I think we should not be understood as just outright rejection of of the bill. That's why I was trying to explain that this rejecting in this case, we're using it in the path of undesirability. But what is definitely desirable is the elimination of red tape anyway. But now maybe that option of throughout the options, maybe including that one of going to for amendment, it may be amendment in another legislation or maybe in the Small Business Bill, Act, whatever. But the fact is we come up here having convinced ourselves that something somewhere will have to be done. And we have always known that there has always been efforts that the red tape must be reduced or eliminated. Thank you.
I want us to come to the conclusion of this, but I also want to simplify what you are saying, Honorable Staff. In several times in this committee, I have made reference to the coordination mandate of the department and the integrated development planning process. And in several times, I have made mention of what we learned from 2010, hosting 2010. The announcement was made on 2002 that South Africa will host 2010 Soccer World Cup. Had to build a stadium, had to build a coordinate transport. We had to ensure Butama hotels are rated. B&Bs, we had to have public viewing, all those things. Time limits for us to achieve that was 8 years. And central to cutting the red tape that would have happened, I'm talking now very specific on red tape, was the establishment of the 2010 coordination, National Coordinating Committee, which brought all the departments together, and here in Parliament, all departments, all committees that were providing an oversight on the departments that were key for providing services that were required for 2010 were brought together, and we had meetings as a combined. Even on oversight, we would go as different portfolio committees focusing on different things to assess the state of readiness for South Africa. That is red tape reduction. Now, all that we are saying, what Honorable Kapa is advancing is red tape may sometimes not necessarily require a bill, but require a strategic approach in doing things differently. And you cut the red tape. What I have just said is a practical example that South Africa has been to, and I was practically involved by, because I was chairing sports and recreation at that time. And when we were hosting 2010, I was now in transport, having been to local government, and knew how local government had to prepare for 2010. A sports and leisure center was built in Ugu for practicing purposes. And that was the local government sphere. Red tape was cut in the usual way of doing things in South Africa. We did things differently. And that is what I think Honorable Kapa is referring to say, let us assess the instruments that have been put in place. And the department that is charged with that responsibility is the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation, which then would mean that when we debate this to the House and saying it's undesirable if we choose that route, we would then be explaining the undesirability context of it, not outright rejection, Comrade Park. The undesirability context of it beyond the mandate of the department, but a very important issue to look at, and let us find a very creative way of how to respond to this issue. And not take the shortcut and give it to a very small department that has got limited capacity, limited budget, and limited scope and mandate. That's all that is being said. That's what I'm hearing. So can we then go back to arriving at a decision as to what are we saying? There are two motions, unless there is a sponsor of the motion that wants to withdraw a motion, and we go with one motion to the House. If the two motions stand and there is no compromise, then I'm forced to ask for a vote on the two motions. Comrade Mabas Melewe. There are two motions. One motion is the desirability of the bill, and the other motion is the undesirability of the bill. And then the process that follows thereafter is the debate in the House explaining and putting a report as to what are the issues that may that inform either the desirability or the undesirability. But the portfolio committee has to arrive as to whether the bill is an undesirable bill or a desirable bill. Okay, now I have said that I had said that there was still a room for compromise for the sponsors, the two sponsors who were seconded to withdraw a bill and reach a compromise as to which direction the committee is taking. And if there is no such, then I put both motions to the vote.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
Can we do the voting in secret, please?
Okay, now I subject the two motions to the vote. Those in favor of the desirability of the bill. There are two members is in favor of the desirability of the bill. Those in favor of the undesirability of the bill. Two, four, five. Okay.
The only thing you skipped one thing. I think you skipped as proposed, the bill as proposed. You know, that's the only amendment I wanted to make. So that even as we vote on the basis of the bill, the desirability or undesirability of the bill as proposed. Thanks.
Thank you for that correction. So do I have to go back to the desirability?
No, I think it's understood.
Okay.
Understood.
And then those abstaining?
Yeah, Chair, NSP abstained.
Thank you very much. can we have then the result?
In favor. Thank you, Chair.
Members of the committee who are in favor of the desirability of the bill, there are two members. Desirability of the bill as proposed, there are two members, and then the members who are in favor of undesirability of the bill as proposed, there are five, and then one member abstained.
Okay. My vote is in this. That brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is closed. Okay, the process now is we will write a report and then we will debate the report in the House.
No, 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 no,